Hi guys, welcome to part two. Let's get started. So where we left off with, if you look at my screen, we'll look at Cardboard Main. We imported Cardboard Main, where we gave the main camera a cardboard reticle and our main camera component a physics raycaster. So you can see in the inspector, if you scroll down, the last thing you should see is physics raycaster. So now we're going to actually start writing a script to make our collectibly. Let's give it some code. So in our assets, make sure that you're not in the cardboard folder, but rather our assets, scripts, right click, create, new C sharp script. I am going to, with a capital C, collect. Our new script is going to be named collect. With a capital C. Double click to open it in your editor. Right now we see our perfectly lovely start and update functions.
Just like we did before.
So I'm going to ignore both of them and write a new function. Public void set with a capital S, set gazed at. So gazed and at should also begin with caps. Bool, short for Boolean. Gazed at. So this is a new function that I'm writing that is probably going to tell us whether or not we are looking at our collectible here.
So it's just a Boolean value that we're going to add.
Right. So now I'm going to write a bit of confusing script. So stay with me here. I will explain all of it. Get component, and then in sharp brackets, render dot material dot color equals gazed at our Boolean question mark color with a capital C, color dot green colon color dot red. So what did I just write? That was a whole lot of mess.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in one line of code.
I know. This is probably a really awesome, efficient line of code, though. So essentially what I wrote here, this over here, this is a nice fancy way of writing an if statement. So remember, we have a Boolean here. That means true or false. So if gazed at is true, as in if we are looking at our collectible, we set its color to be green. Because we got the renderer material, and we're resetting its color to be green. But if this is false, if we're not looking at it, else color dot red. So we're setting the material dot color to be red.
Mm-hmm. This makes sense. Something else to point out too is that when we did modify the transform before, we just said transform dot. That's because, as I mentioned at the beginning, every game object has a transform. But not every game object has a renderer. So there isn't any automatic renderer dot variable that we can just pull into our script. So we have to actually search the components of our object for something of type renderer first. And right. Then we can get that renderer and look at its material and then look at the color of that material.
Since we are going to be adding the script directly onto our collectible itself, we can just kind of call get component render, and it knows that we are talking about this thing that we are attaching the script onto.
Yes, the current game object that this script is running on.
Right. If we were attaching this to or if we wanted to call the render of a different game object, we would have to find that game object first and then reference the renderer.
Makes sense.
Right. So the first thing we're going to do in start is probably do set gazed at be false, because we are not by default looking at our collectible. So up here in start, set gazed at false.
Excellent.
Next thing we're going to do is write another function of our own creation, public void collected with a capital C, parentheses, brackets, and in our brackets, game object the lowercase g dot set active false. So what does this do?
Now we got some more built-in variables. Right?
Right.
So game object is what?
Game object is our current game object that we are attaching the script onto, which in this case is our collectible. Dot set active, which means it's easier for me to just kind of show you. So if we go back into our Unity editor, I'm going to show you what set active means. See our collectible right here?
Mm-hmm, I do.
See this little checkbox over here in the inspector?
Can you zoom in on that for us?
Yes, I can. Right there, that checkbox, all the way at the top, right underneath inspector.
That means the object is active.
Yep, if I unclick it, if we set it as in, if we're setting it to false, it disappears. But you can still see it remains in the hierarchy. So in terms of what this means, it means our collectible is not deleted from memory, but it is effectively dead to the game. Since we are making a finite amount of collectibles, this is okay for us to do, that we can just kind of individually set the collectibles to be false or just kind of like, you know, set them all to be inactive. Normally, if we were spawning collectibles or if we're spawning enemies, we would probably want to destroy them so that they are deleted from memory and not taking up too much space.
Makes sense.
This is just a way to do it. And since we don't have that many, we'll be fine. So save your script and go back to your Unity editor. We are going to want all of our collectibles to have this collect script. So let's drag collect onto collectible. And now we are going to make our collectible a prefab. So in our assets folder, we are going to create one last new folder.
I should point out an important concept too there. You can have multiple scripts attached to a single game object, and those scripts can have multiple start and update functions, and they will both, the starts will run on the start and the updates will run on every frame. And you can have as many scripts as you want. And so we don't have to have one script that rotates and does this, you know, collectible code. We can have them in two scripts just for, you know, our coding sake, or you could merge them together if that's what you want to do.
That's absolutely right. And actually, if we had like some, you know, spheres in there, but they weren't going to be collected, they were just, you know, rotating as well, it'd be nice to have a separate item rotator script so that multiple things could rotate, but not multiple things could be collected.
Yep. Makes sense.
Yep.
All right. Pretty so now much. Let's go back talking about prefabs.
Okay. So I created a new prefabs folder in our assets. We should have a total of 4 folders in our assets. And now in prefabs, here's how we make a prefab, guys. Watch real carefully. So you see up here in my hierarchy, we have collectible. We have this blank space down here in our project folder. I am going to click on collectible and drag it down.
And now it's into
our folder. And now you can see that our collectible's in there and there's a little box next to it. But also, if we scroll back up, collectible is now blue. It's a different color than in the other ones. It changed from black to blue. And this kind of tells us, yes, I am a prefab. That's how you know you've made a prefab. So save your game. And now anytime we want to make any changes to all of our collectibles, we are going to edit our prefab collectible down here in our folder.
The one that's the file, not the one in your current scene.
Right. Anytime we want to individualize each collectible, which we are not going to do in this particular game, then we would individually in our hierarchy edit our collectible.
Well, in a sense, we are going to individualize it. Just the only thing we're going to change is the transform and where it's located in the game.
Oh, that's true. We're going to drag them around the arena so that you can probably not collect a whole bunch of collectibles in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. We are on our way to making our game playable. The next thing we are going to do is add a game controller to our game. And what is a game controller? Well, sometimes when you make a game, it's really nice to have an omnipotent object just knowing what's going on in your game. So how would you keep score? Something that kind of knows everything about your game should probably keep score, right? Something that just has its, you know, hands in everything. that's going to be keeping track of our score. So anytime we can't have our collectible itself keep score because they're going to be getting, you know, set unactive. So we have to be able to kind of send this data to our game controller so it can keep score and it'll know when each collectible is setting to be inactive. Yep, so let's do that real quick. In our hierarchy, we're going to create a new empty game object, just like we did before with our borders, which was I right-click to bring up that menu, and then create empty. And then it pops up this thing that says game object, which I'm going to rename to say game controller. So now we have a new empty game object called game controller that pretty much only has a transform, as you can see here. Next thing we're going to do is change the tag. Right here, kind of says tag untagged. If we drop down that menu, there's one that says game controller. Cool, that was easy.
So what are tags?
Tags allow us to, well, you know, you might have a whole bunch of objects in your game that are of a certain particular type. So let's say you have a whole bunch of different enemies that do a whole bunch of different things, but all in all, they are enemies. And when you, let's say if you have, if you're writing code, you want to say, okay, anytime I shoot a bullet and it hits something that's tagged as an enemy, it's going to get defeated. Mm-hmm. So you might have an enemy that's hopping along this way or an enemy that's like swerving this way. But all in all, when my bullet hits you, you're dead. So we can tag all of our enemies as an enemy type and then be able to do something with all of our enemies.
And be able to check those tags in code for make our lives a little bit easier. So for instance, this game controller tag tells us, hey, there's only one object that's the game controller, so find the one with that tag. That's the one we're looking for.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what we're using this tag for, is to find it in our code. So let's create this code. In scripts, our third and final script, we're going to create a new C# script named game controller with camel casing and everything. You can see game with a capital G, C with a capital C, no space in between. Double click to open the script in Visual Studio. Right, and we see our start and update. Well, at the top, we're actually, before we even get into our functions, we're actually going to add one more using statement. We are going to be using, in this case, Unity engine.ui. And we need this line because it allows us to use text elements such as score, which will be text displayed on our screen, or you win, text displayed on our screen. And we need the functions to be able to access these kinds of things because they don't come default set in Unity Engine or Systems Collection. Just make sure that's at the top right there. We will use it later. Up here, where we will have our global variables. Let's just kind of put
local to this class.
Right. Local global variables. Public text with a capital T, count text, and public text win text. Can you guys guess what these are going to be?
I would guess that's the reference to the text object that we're going to be and the actual text we're going to display.
Close. Count text is going to be our score, and win text is going to be our you win.
Oh, yes, right. Two different text objects.
But we are going to create private int count. This is going to be our internal counter that is specific only to this class, where it'll actually keep score of how many collectibles we've collected. This variable will increment when we collect a new collectible. In start, we're going to want to initialize these things. So we'll set count to be 0, just right off the bat. We have collected no collectibles at the beginning of our game. We will do win text dot text equals quotes. This means nothing. It's
an
a null
empty string.
Empty string. So we haven't won yet, so we're not setting you win quite yet. The first function that we are going to write ourselves is something called set count text. Void set with a capital S, set count text. And in here, you're going to actually write our text to the screen. So count text. So this is going to be that text. This is going to be our actual string where we are going to be count colon equals. And then we will add count to our count right here. So it'll say count.
The count colon. Variable that we are concatenating to the string that we're displaying on the count text text object.
Right. So this is a little confusing. Why do we have two string right here? Well, count is an integer. And in order for it to be displayed as a string, we have to call the toString method. It'll turn our integer, which is zero, into zero in quotes, you know?
Yes, because we don't want the ASCII character that is labeled zero. We want the numeral zero.
Another thing that's going to be in here, if our count is greater than or equal to 12, because we're going to have 12 collectibles on our field, win text dot text is set to you win.
Awesome. Game will know when we've actually won.
Right. So this will now display you win once we reach 12. So up here in start, we're going to want to call this function set count text because we are going to set count to zero and that we're going to want to display count zero at the beginning of our game.
Makes sense.
Right. Last function. One last one. Under update, we can write public void add one. What do you think this is going to do, Tobias?
We're going to add one to our integer and then probably call set count text from there.
That's exactly what we're going to do. We are going to add one. Count plus plus means add one to count. So our score will increment and then we will write that score to our screen. Update it right here.
Awesome, but it seems like we have two things missing. How are we going to set what those text variables are, the count text and the win text?
Well, if we go back to our Unity editor, we will do just that. So in our Unity editor, we are going to add our text objects to our screen. You guys able to see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Under game object or create, or if we right click, UI is one of the options that we can choose. So we have 3D object, 2D object, light, audio, and UI, text. And right off the bat, as soon as we create any sort of new UI element, canvas and event system pop up.
Can you zoom in on those? That's in our hierarchy.
It's in our hierarchy. So we wanted only text, but we got canvas and event system with it.
Now, why do we get those?
Well, our canvas is with displaying our UI elements to our screen. I'm not actually sure what event system does. Tobias, what does event system do?
Basically, they're both required for Unity's GUI in order to run. So the event system kind of handles like UI events, and the canvas is the object that collects all of the different UI element objects that are going to be displayed onto the screen. It's how Unity has set up their deal. So as soon as you add one, it automatically creates that system. But as you add more elements, it's just going to add more into the canvas. You can even look at the code and look at it in the documentation or look at the scripts that are automatically attached to these. These are just a prefab for UI, really. But for our purposes of this, you can just safely ignore them and just know that, hey, the UI system needs them. They're automatically created. I don't need to touch them from there.
Actually, we will be touching them, but we'll touch on that in a bit. So if we go back to our text, we're going to rename our text object, win text. We're going to also create one more, and you'll see your itself that it will. Oh, there we go. Count text. So this will be our win text and our count text. And right now we're not going to do anything but drag them onto the proper spots in Game Controller. But first we have to add our Game Controller script to our Game Controller. And as soon as we do that, we see these little boxes that pop up, count text and win text. This is because we set, in our code, we have set these variables to be public. So because we set them to be public, we can actually drag them into their proper slots. So count text will be dragged to the box that says count text, and win text will be dragged to win text. So now we can reference the proper objects right here.
That is really handy. We can set public variables from within the Unity editor.
Right. Convenient. But we're not done yet. As you can see, our canvas right here, one second. As you can see, on our game view right down here, I'll zoom in for you. But you can see that these are now overlaid. These new text objects are kind of overlaid onto our screen.
This is nice.
Yeah, well, that's nice and all for if we have a normal game, because we'll kind of want our score to be maybe in like the top left-hand corner of our screen, keeping score. But we actually can't have that in VR. We need to change our render mode on Canvas over here in the inspector from screen space overlay to world space.
Can you zoom in on where that drop down box is?
Yep, I will. Right here in render mode. You can click on it and change it from screen space overlay to world space. And then it's going to ask for an event camera. And we will put in the main camera that's going to be in cardboard main. So if we drop down cardboard main to main camera, I'm going to just drag the main camera over here where it's asking for our event camera.
And that's in the canvas, which is part of the UI we just created.
Right, over here in canvas. So what now? Now, here is the super technical part. If I'm scrolling out in my scene so that I can now see my canvas, see how big our canvas is, it's huge. I'm actually just going to reposition the text until I can see it in the game view.
Oh, wow, look at that.
So now you can actually see it in our game because now it's in the world. Our text is floating literally as objects in our world.
Normally that UI canvas is glued flat to the front of your camera screen, but in VR land, we want it to float.
Right, exactly. So you can kind of see it's kind of hovering here. One of our text elements is hovering here above above our arena here. Which one is that? That's wind text. That's cool and all. I'm going to set that to be a little further up. And I can do that. I can kind of like know inherently that I will see that wind text when the time comes because we're actually going to be using the camera to look around our arena. So we will see if even though we can't see it over here at the start of our screen, we will eventually be able to see it.
Because by the nature of VR, you control the rotation by moving your head.
And now I'm going to move count text, which is going to be our score, right there. So that's going to just hover right above our arena. And we can see that here. And the last thing I'm going to do with this, now that they're positioned in the world where we can see them, is change the color over here in the inspector. I'm just going to change count to be white, just so it stands out a little more.
Nice and bright.
So that's all for Canvas, but we're not done yet. We actually have some business with event system. So over here in the inspector, right off the bat, it comes with event system script and standalone input module script. We are actually going to add two components, gaze input module and touch input module, which I got just by searching because I knew I needed a gaze input module and touch input module. This will allow us to take gaze and touch into our into our game. So one last thing, we actually need to physically move gaze input module to be above event system in our inspector.
Now why does it need to be first?
It needs to be first because these components are actually executing in the order up here. So first is transform, then event system, then standalone input, just because that's the way that they are in our inspector. So we want gaze input module to be right after transform. Why is that? Google told me so. That's the way that cardboard needs to work.
Fair enough. I can see reasons why they want that.
Yep. I think if you don't, things break. Which is fair enough reason for me. So now that we have our game controller and our UI elements and everything else set up, we're actually not quite done. Our collect code, actually, you know, we need to interact with this game controller so that when we are collected, we will call that function add one that adds one to our score and, you know, actually interact with our game. So over here, I have loaded up my collect code again. And the last thing we're going to do is add in our game controller and use its function. So private, at the top, private game controller with a capital G and C, game controller with a lowercase g because it is a variable name. I'll scroll in for you guys. Private game controller, game controller. And then in start, we are going to want to say game object. So first thing we got to do is collect the object that is our game controller in our hierarchy, and then reference the game controller script that is on that game object. So game object, game controller object equals game object dot find with tag. Because in case you forgot, we actually tagged this game object.
And that's why we did that, because we can easily search for the one object that has the game controller tag.
Exactly. So we just found the game object that is tagged with game controller. Now, if we got this object, so if game controller object is not equal to null, as in if we found it, then we are going to want to set game controller, like our game controller at the top, game controller equals game controller object dot get component game controller. So this is now we are actually referencing the script. Over here in blue, this component, this is our script, our game controller script, so that way we can actually call the functions in that script that we need to. This is our object from where we get this script.
And then saving that locally so that we can continue to reference it throughout the code.
Exactly. But if our game controller is null, we should probably put in a debugging message saying we messed up. It's good practice. You don't have to, because, you know, if you don't get your game controller, your game's not going to work.
Of course, you never need assert statements. You never need error checking, because everything always works perfectly, especially as it relates to new technology like VR, right?
Exactly. So, you know, putting in a debug message can't hurt if something messes up. Just tell us that we can't find our game controller. So if it's not null, we grab the script. If it is null, you probably should put in a debugging message. Lastly, under collected, right above where we set the game object to false, we should probably add a line that says game controller dot add one, so that we add one to our script when we are collected.
Awesome. And that's all we need to do, since add one from there handles the scoring and changing the UI.
Pretty much. So if we go back to our game right here, how we've written all the code to get it to work, but there still seems to be this disconnect of how exactly are we actually triggering these functions to happen. So if we click on our collectible prefab, remember, not our prefab, Not our instance of it up in the hierarchy, but our prefab itself.
Yeah, very important not to mix those two up.
Yep, down here in project is what you should have selected. We are going to add a component, which is actually under event. Event trigger. There's going to be three triggers. Pointer enter, pointer exit, and pointer click. And these are going to be when our camera and our reticle enters our collectible, for when it exits our collectible, and for when we fire or when we click. This is going to be where we collect it, and these are going to be, are we looking at it? So in case you forgot, we actually have set gazed at that we wrote that'll actually change the color based on whether or not we are looking at it. Very convenient. So we're just going to add the plus button for all three, and this gives us the option to now reference functions. So I'm going to drag our collectible prefab over here where it's expecting a game object, and now we can see all of the scripts that we could possibly reference with all the functions that we could possibly reference.
All the public ones.
Public ones, yes, very specific. Notice I specifically named, if you go back and look at your script, certain functions are set to public void, and that is so that we can reference them. So under collect, you're going to choose set gazed at boolean, and then check it because it's going to be set to true.
Awesome. You can customize the input right in there.
Right, exactly. Convenient. Collect set gazed at, and we are not going to check it because it's false.
Yep, so when you leave the view, it sets it to false.
And lastly, in pointer click, we are going to choose collect collected so that it will set it as inactive when we click and add one to our score. That's what we have written in our code.
Perfect. It references all three functions.
Right. If we just kind of test this out.
So we still have that one collectible on the screen.
Right. We haven't made 12 of our collectibles, but we do have one. Notice that our cardboard reticle is now expanded because we're interacting with 3D objects. Specifically this one, which nice. If we collect, adds one to our score.
It was hard to see there, but it was red, and then it turned green when you looked at it, and then you clicked, and it went away.
Right. Exactly. So last thing we're going to do is just make a whole bunch of collectibles. Now's the time to actually, make our playing field. This is our level builder.
Now this is where it's really handy to make a prefab, because you could have been doing this all on a single collectible, and then you could have duplicated it 12 times. But then what if you need to make a change? Then you change one, you have to match the change on all of them. What's really handy is having this as a prefab is that you're able to change it as a file, and then you can just drag in that prefab 12 times and be good to go.
I'm focusing really hard on making our scene really cool.
Yes, lining them up extra pretty, getting to exactly 12 boxes.
Right.
We get a nice space in the middle.
Look at that. 4x4.
Perfect.
4x4. Awesome.
This looks like a game to me. We got a goal. We got win text. See it in action.
So the way that I'm moving this screen, I'm holding Alt. Alt simulates head movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then clicking simulates firing the trigger.
And of course, you can build this and actually put it on a VR device and, experience this in true virtual reality. But we're just showing on the computer.
Look at that.
You see the win text. It's a little dark since it's black, but it's totally there.
We win our game. We've made a game.
That's a perfect game. Well,
actually, there's one more thing that we could do if you want to switch back to my screen real quick.
Oh, yes. I'm jumping the gun here.
So even worse than our borders, look at how much space our collectibles take up.
Yes.
I'm just going to go ahead and create an empty game object that says collectibles. Just so that I can just do a little bit of maintenance.
See, I was calling ourselves gun, and you're like, no, we have to tidy up. Have to leave it nice. That's the proper way to do it.
Ugly. Look at that. Okay, now we're done.
Yes. Now it's a much cleaner hierarchy. Even zoomed out from here, we can see that much less things going on.
Right.
And that's the game.
That's our game. You guys made your first VR games. Now, if you guys want to build them to your phones, so for iOS, you need a developer account. Just because Apple, in order to put anything that's not like a licensed app on there, so something like a Unity game that you built yourself, you just need an iOS developer account, which is activated with Xcode, and there are instructions on how to do that on the Google Cardboard website. And as for Android, since Android's just kind of open, you just have to enable developer mode on your Android device and then build it with Android in Unity, and it'll just go directly to your phone.
Perfect. Where can we find this sample code again?
In this sample code, you can actually find this on my GitHub, which is listed below, and the instructions for that on my website. The link to that is also going to be listed below on Channel 9. And you can follow more VR stuff and my adventures on my blog or on Twitter. I am at FayeTechnologist.
Great. And I'm at Tobias Zarles. Let us know if you have any questions about this, comments, or themes that you'd like to see from us in the future. Thank you again for watching.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye.
Bye.